Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to feed together upon your word. Lord, we realize that none of us in and of ourselves, Father God, is adequate to the task, but you make us able ministers of this new covenant. So, Father, we wholly and completely rely on you tonight. I rely upon you for utterance, Father God. And Father, I pray that tonight, wisdom and revelation, insight into the Word of God would be received by the hearts of those who are here present tonight and by those who later listen to this via the internet, on the website, or however it gets into their hands. We pray, Father God, for testimonies, long-ranging testimonies, not only, Father God, throughout our area, Kern County, but Lord, as people listen to this around the world, we thank you, Father God, for healings, miracles, demonstrations of the power of God, deliverances from demonic oppression and strongholds in the lives of people. We pray that tonight, Father God, the beginnings of a foundation would be laid in our hearts, Father God, that we might stand against all the wiles of the enemy, that we may not only stand for healing for our own lives, but that there might be a foundation of faith prepared in our hearts, that we might pray the prayer of faith for others, minister in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, and see the captive set free, that your word would be confirmed, that lives might be changed for your glory. We thank you for it. We believe you for good things, for a groundswell of momentum of faith, for the faith waters to begin to rise at West Kern Christian Center and throughout our community and the world, where people would begin to see the demonstration of the power of God. That's our hunger, that's our desire, that people would partake of that redemptive provision of healing that you've made available for us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let me go over what's in your syllabus for just a moment, if I could. What we really want to try to stress and get across to you in these lessons is that what we're sharing with you on these nights that we do the healing school is only a fraction of what we hope you get out of this class. We intend to resource you, load you down with material that you can feed on and listen to and read so that you can build your faith up throughout the week. We'll talk a little bit about homework at the end. That's why we call it healing school, because we will be assigning homework. And this is the kind of stuff that you are tested on, not in the class, but in life. Can you say amen? And so we want you to take hold of the Word of God. We want you to continuously feed on it. And I really am asking each and every one of you to take some time every single day to feed upon the truths of the Word of God, either out of the syllabus or out of some of the materials that we give you. Like we said, we just want to load you down. Some we will give you, and others we will make available to you by way of giving you the information. And so let me just kind of go over some of this. There's an introduction to the syllabus. You can just read at your own. We'll start with lesson one in a moment. But let me talk to you about some of the resources. You'll notice at the front we have a little handout here called 101 Things God Said About Healing. This really comes from Keith Moore. I edited it down a little bit just to put it on four sheets of paper. And we made it loose leaf so that you can take it out if you want to take it with you to work without having to take your binder, for example. You can take it with you, but the scriptures would be something you would have to look up. But these are confessions based upon the Word of God. 101 different things. You know, the Bible said, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'd say when you've got 101, you've got a pretty good case for healing. Can you say amen? And so 101 things God said both in the Old and New Covenant about healing. So I want to encourage you, as part of your homework assignment, we'll talk about it later, is to not only meditate these, I hope you grab a handful of them, you know, get a couple that you can remember, maybe even from rote, and just, you know, confess them throughout the day, meditate on it. You know, to meditate does not mean just think about something real hard. It literally means to mutter. Say it to yourself. Let the truths of it wash your mind and renew your mind to God's will to heal your body. Can you say amen? And build these truths up on the inside of you where they become more real to you than your physical circumstance. That's what this is all about. And then I want to encourage you, as you're able, take some time and look up the scriptures themselves. Read the Bible. Look these things up. Whether you use a device or whether you use the good old handheld open and turn the page edition of your Bible, whichever you use, look these things up and get to know them. Learn the address to these scriptures, because when people ask you why you believe what you believe, the Bible said we're supposed to be able to give a defense of the things that we believe. Can you say amen? So I want to encourage you to go through these handouts and read these scriptures, make these confessions, and get to know these truths for yourself. Can you say amen? Then in the back, there is a bibliography. The very last page of your manual here, your syllabus, is a bibliography, Healing School bibliography. And these are resources. This isn't necessarily what I've used to prepare this per se. I would say I probably got something out of every one of these things at one time or another. And a lot of it, you know, gets recycled and winds up in the teaching that we do. But we just wanted to make sure that you had a list of good materials available on the subject of healing. Now, I'll tell you, the easiest way to get a hold of some of these is if you have a smartphone or any kind of device, be it Kindle, iPad, anything like that, you can probably download most of these books through Amazon or iBooks or whatever. If you don't have that, you can probably order paperback editions of many of them through Amazon. Many of them are available that way. Actually, when it came to Brother Hagin's books, I just went on Amazon the other day and just looked for all the things he had written. They're all there, both for electronic distribution and I'm sure paperback as well. And of course, there's other outlets such as Christian Book Distributors, CBD, that you can order these things through. But just a good list of materials available to you. And then one of the best resources I can point you toward would be Keith Moore's website. He pastors Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri, and has another church in Sarasota, Florida. And everything on his website is free. You can't ask for a better price than that. He has hundreds upon hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, upon hundreds of hours of excellent teaching on the subject of healing. And I would encourage you, particularly over this time. Now, I realize it requires a computer to download. You may not have those resources. He's also on Christian television stations. Look him up. But he oversaw Brother Hagin's healing school for about 15, 20 years. I forget exactly. But anyway, I don't know anybody who probably knows more about healing than Brother Moore. So I would encourage you to take advantage of those resources. He's got one series alone, 30 Reasons Why, you know, Divine Healing Is For Us, or 30 Reasons Why Divine Healing Is The Will Of God. So that one alone will take you weeks and weeks and weeks to go through. So put them on your iPod, your computer, whatever you got. Listen to him again and again and again. If you don't have access to that, like I said, he's also on television. But the wonderful thing, I know that oftentimes these electronic devices can be somewhat of a distraction in life, but I tell you what, they're also a great way to get a hold of some of these resources. And then, of course, we've got the magazine. The reason why I put that magazine, I know some of you already have it, but the reason why we put it in there is because a lot of times we'll grab a magazine, we'll give it to all of our friends, and never bother to read it. I realize not everybody in here is by nature a reader, but I'm telling you, these articles in the magazine are good Bible truths on healing. You could just read any one of these articles and get healed from the truth in that. So I encourage you, read the magazine, meditate on it, go through those articles, case testimonies in there. I wrote a couple of articles. There's a lot of good material in that magazine that we put out last quarter. So I encourage you to read it, feed on it, meditate these truths. It'll be part of your homework assignment. And what I really want to encourage you to do, it's just 6 weeks, and we're going to focus on and major on the subject of healing. And so what you get out of it will really be in proportion to what you put into it. Amen. So I'm really encouraging you to do some self-study, to get into the Word of God yourself, feed upon these materials, and really take advantage of what we have available, both, like I said, through internet, as well as right here. Also, one of the books in that bibliography, of course, is our book. We give it away free all the time. You know, we do actually sell a couple somewhere, but not here. We give them away. And if you didn't get a copy of our book, there's a lot of good truths on divine healing in there, several chapters devoted to that. Take advantage of that. Read through that. A lot of the things you'll be hearing us teach over the 6 weeks, a lot of that is in that book. So it'll be a blessing. And then also, in addition to teaching the Word of God and laying a doctrinal foundation, I'm going to bring some testimonies to read to you, both historically, things that God has done in the body of Christ, some real powerful, miraculous things that I think will really just spark your faith, as well as some current things that God has done, and then things, of course, in our life and ministry that we've seen take place. Because how many of you know they can lend some good inspiration? If God ever healed anyone, He'll heal you. Amen. Because He's no respecter of persons, and it belongs to you. And you've got to get past the idea of thinking it happens to everybody else but me. It does happen to you because it's already been provided because Jesus died for you. Can you say amen? So with that, let's go ahead and take a look at our first lesson in the syllabus. And that, of course, is the importance of establishing the will of God concerning healing. Now, we're going to do this one a little bit different than I've done healing schools in times past. As you know, I'm a Bible teacher, so I like to just take the Word of God and let it rip and teach and preach. But I felt like I wanted to put a syllabus together that gives you the bulk of what I'm going to be talking about so that, again, you can review these things throughout the week as well as listen to it through the MP3s and the audio files that we make available. So go ahead and let's take a look at Mark 1. I'll have to resist the temptation to say turn in your Bibles too, because they're all in here. But Mark 1, 40 through 42, It says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now I want you to notice again in verse 40, the leper came to him, implored him, kneeled down to him and said to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now most of you probably know that in first century Israel, if you had, and in the Old Covenant as well, if you had leprosy, you were considered unclean. And in fact, you actually had to cry out, unclean, unclean, if there are others coming your way so that they would not get infected by the disease as well. It also served as a type or picture of sin. Probably because of the destructive nature of the disease. Not that people that had leprosy sinned any more than anyone else. It was just a type and picture of sin. And so when he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean, it might be better for our purposes to say, if you are willing, you can heal me. Because that's really what he's saying. So he's saying, if you are willing, you can heal me. You can make me clean. Of course, Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, and this is the important part, I am willing. Say that with me. I am willing. And notice this, as soon as he had spoken, as soon as the knowledge of the will of God entered into the chambers of his heart and illuminated him to the will of God concerning his life, he was healed, the leprosy departed from him, and he went away whole. Can you say amen? So this leper in coming to Jesus had an incomplete revelation, we might say, of the will of God concerning healing. He knew that Jesus could, but what he doubted was, would he? He was concerned about God's willingness. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean, or you can heal me. So he knew Jesus could, but what he doubted was his willingness. And as we say here, that's where so many in the church of Jesus Christ are today. They know God can. I mean, who doesn't know God can? But where they stumble, where they have doubt is, will God heal me? Is it the will of God not only to heal, but is it the will of God to heal me? How many of you know that's where a lot of people stumble? And again, sometimes it comes down to this kind of sense of inferiority. We don't see ourselves through the lens of the cross. We don't see the value that we are to God, the amazing price He was willing to pay to secure our redemption. And somehow we see ourselves as somehow less than. Like not God's favorite child exactly, or something of that nature. And so we know this happens to other people. And that's probably what this leper, who's been living all his life with this tag stuck to him. You're a leper. You're a less than. You're on the fringe of society. You're not in the in crowd. You're in the out crowd. And so that's probably why he had this sense of inferiority in coming to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can. And thank God Jesus straightened out his theology with three words. He said, I am willing. You know, it doesn't take a lot of faith to believe God can. If you do an interview with a man on the street and say, do you believe God can heal? Even people that aren't sure if there is a God, they'll say, well, I imagine if there's a God, he can probably do anything. So we don't really stumble over the issue of the ability of God so much as we stumble over the issue of the willingness of God to heal, and in particular, as we said, to heal us. And this, of course, is a problem because it's impossible to pray in faith for anything if we're uncertain of God's will in the matter. Can you say amen? To have a definite faith for healing, we must be rid of any doubt whatsoever regarding God's will regarding healing, whether we're talking about receiving healing for ourselves or whether we're talking about praying the prayer of faith for someone else. Now, I think this is an important question to ask. Why do we sometimes stumble over the issue of God's willingness to heal? Why do we doubt God's willingness? Now, coming from a teaching type church, and particularly if you've, like me, had somewhat of a Word of Faith background, you say, well, it's because people are ignorant of the Word. I think that's too simplistic. Because the Word is revealing something. Not only that, the Word is revealing someone. It's not just an ignorance of the Word of God, it's an ignorance of God Himself and His nature and His character. How many of you ever had someone that maybe, you know, in conversation, you know, you have a mutual acquaintance, somebody you both know. And this individual, and then maybe they're a great friend of yours, this mutual acquaintance, and they say, yeah, that fella, I just don't like him. And you're shocked. Because you know him, you know what a great guy is, and your first thought is, they just don't know him. I remember Keith Moore kind of humorously saying, someone came up to him one time after his teaching, he said, I don't like you. He said, ah, you just don't know me. He said, if you knew me, you'd like me. And I think a lot of times, the reason why we don't understand the willingness of God and the compassion of God, we just don't know it. It's not that we just don't know the Word of God. We don't know Him. Now, let me kind of put this shoe on another foot. How many of you are parents or have, you know, children, stepchildren, godchildren, whatever, children that you love, people in your life that you love? Could be a sister, brother, mother, whatever. Let's say they're going through a crisis. I think of my children, now my grandchildren. Let's say they're going through a crisis. Which would you prefer? For them to come and sit in your lap and say, "Daddy, I know you'd help me if you could." Or to say, "Daddy, I know you can help me. I just don't know whether you will or not." Big difference, isn't there? I'd rather them doubt my ability, my resource. Amen? My plain old, "I can't do it." I'd rather them doubt my ability than doubt my love for them. Doubt my character. Isn't that right? Well, for some reason in the church, we've got that reversed. We know God can, but where we stumble is, will He? And yet the Bible said, Matthew 7:11, right there in your book, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father which is in heaven? You know, for someone, this is the verse you need to meditate all 6 weeks long. Is how much more? How much more? How much do you love your children? How much do you love your grandchildren? How much do you love your spouse? How much do you love your mother, your father? Is there anything you wouldn't do for them? If you love them, you and I, imperfect as we are, would empty our bank account, bankrupt ourselves of all resource to help those we love, how much more will our Father in heaven give good things? Because He already bankrupted heaven, if you will, for us. He gave the best heaven had to offer. Isn't that right? To reconcile us to Himself and to qualify us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, we just need to get a revelation of the goodness of God. We need to get a revelation of the compassion of Christ, of the love of God. Because therein is His willingness. Can you say amen? Not only can He will. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus cleared up the matter, like we said, with three simple words, "I am willing." And of course, we understand that Jesus was not just speaking on His own behalf, but rather He came to represent the Father to us. How many of you know to see Jesus is to see the Father? He was a walking, talking, moving expression of the will of God. In fact, the Bible said in Hebrews 1:3 that He is the express image of the person of God. The express image. Amen. Now, I think most of us probably are familiar with John 1:18, New King James. I think it says something to the fact, you know, that no one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him or revealed Him. But I like it here in the Amplified. It says, "No man has ever seen God at any time, the only unique Son or the only begotten God who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father. He has declared Him, He has revealed Him and brought Him out where He can be seen. He has interpreted Him, and He has made Him known." So to look at Jesus, to hear Jesus, is to hear and to see the Father. Amen. So if we want to know the will of God, we just take a look at Jesus. And of course, Jesus said, "I am willing." Amen. He came to reveal the Father both in word and deed. John 7:16 says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'My doctrine is not mine, but Him who sent me.'" So what Jesus taught was a revelation of the doctrine of the Father. In fact, in another place, in John 3:34, the Bible said, "He whom God sent speaks the words of God." So Jesus did not come just to speak on His own behalf, but to reveal and to represent, to declare and to reveal to us the heart of the Father. Can you say amen? And then, of course, indeed, John 5:19 says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He, the Father, does, the Son also does in like manner.'" In other words, whatever Jesus did, He did by revelation. He did because the Father prompted Him, led Him, directed Him. So Jesus, again, was a walking, living expression of the will of God. Can you say amen? Now again, John 1:18, how He came to reveal or declare the Father. I like the Message. I just put it in there for fun. The Message always has kind of a different way of getting it across. He said, "No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. This one-of-a-kind God expression, who exists at the very heart of the Father, He has made Him plain as day." And that's our will. Through this course, is to make the revelation of the will of God to heal you as plain as day. Amen. John 14:8-9, Philip talking to Jesus on the last night of His earthly ministry. Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you? And have you not yet known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Amen. And again, God is no respecter of persons. If it was true for the leper in Mark 1, if it was true for all those that were healed on the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago, it's true for you too. He is willing to heal you. Can you say amen? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, that's the four square verse, if you will. If you go to a four square church, they'll have Hebrews 13:8 plastered somewhere in that sanctuary. And I always like being in those churches because they believe four prominent things. Jesus came to save, to heal, to fill, and He's coming again. Can you say amen? That's a pretty good, we ought to all have a four square gospel, if you will, in that regard. Can you say amen? And so, Jesus came to heal, He did heal, and thank God He's still healing today. He's healing through His church, He's healing through His Word, He's healing through His anointing, He's still in the healing business. Can you say amen? And so that's what we want to understand, is that He is a living, breathing expression of the will of God. Say this with me, God can heal me. But more importantly, God wants to heal me. You know, that's what inspires faith. It's not that God can save. It's when you realize God wants you saved more than you want to be saved. That's what inspires faith. It's not just knowing that God could heal you or that He can heal you, but that He wants you to be healed more than you want to be healed. That inspires faith. Can you say amen? And so we want your faith inspired today. Amen. So what Jesus did for the leper in those three words, we want to do throughout this whole duration of the class, and that is to establish beyond any shadow of a doubt in our hearts God's will to heal us. Can you say amen? Again, why is it so important to establish the will of God concerning healing? Because you can't believe God for anything you don't know it's His will to give you. Faith is predicated upon a revelation of the will of God. F.F. Bosworth, the author of Christ the Healer, said it this way, faith begins where the will of God is known. So until we're solid in the Word of God, we might pray hoping that He'll do it, but we can't pray knowing that He'll do it until we have a revelation of His will. And that comes as we feed upon the Word of God. That's why the Bible said in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's interesting, it doesn't say that faith comes by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a continual present tense type thing. We have to not just hear, but continue to hear. You know, Brother Hagin said to us, guys, you don't have a binder, do you? Yeah, Brother Hagin said something to us. He said, you know, you need to continuously be feeding yourselves on the truths of faith and healing. He said, because you never know in life when you're going to need it either for yourself or for someone else. How many know that's true? You know, it's interesting. I've known a lot of guys that have taught healing for years and years and years. Guys who've had some tremendous results. Brother Hagin, of course, my spiritual father being one. And it's interesting, he was telling a story one time. I've heard him tell it many times. But his daughter had, her name was Pat, when she was a young child, she began to develop some kind of a growth on her face. And you've heard me say before that Brother Hagin, in his ministry, has had great success with tumors, growths, that kind of thing. Well, he said, I could have, from rote, just from memory alone, quoted every single Bible verse in the book on healing. Because he's taught on it so many times. He himself was raised up off of a deathbed. He had two incurable conditions. No one had ever lived past 16 years of age with the two things he had. And he was healed by the power of God simply through faith in His Word. So here's a man who knows what it is to believe God. And he said, I could have prayed the prayer of faith in a sense just on what I knew the Bible said. In other words, my pre-existing faith. He said, but I did not do that. Now you understand, this is a day before cell phones and smartphones and, you know, probably pretty much alarm clocks, maybe the wind-up kind, but you know, this is a number of years back. He said, but I would wake myself up. He said, I could just always do that. You know, I'd just tell myself I'm going to wake up at such and such a time. And he said, I'd wake up in the early morning hours, like 1, 2 a.m. And he said, and I would take my Bible and I would read through and meditate on every single scripture on healing in the Bible. And he said, then I'd go back to sleep. I'd wake up a few hours later and I would do it again. What's he doing? He's building his faith up to pray for his daughter. Because faith doesn't come from having heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, and may I add, and hearing and hearing and hearing. I've shared with you the story before of my friend Tom Slinker, who did not have a background in the things of God, got saved on his deathbed, died of muscular sclerosis. And, you know, he got saved and was so thankful he was on his way to heaven. But he would say in his, at night, you know, as he's lying there, all the lights out, praying and worshiping God, so happy that burden of sin has been rolled away and I'm going to go to heaven when I die. But he kept saying, Lord, I'm just so sorry I got saved so late in life that I never had the opportunity to serve you. And he said, God got across to me. You don't have to die. And he asked directions, Lord, well, then what do I do? And he said, begin to read the Bible. Begin to read the New Testament. He led him to read through the entire New Testament. Of course, muscular sclerosis affects your motor functions. It was awkward for him, difficult to turn the pages. He could only stay so focused for so long throughout the day. And yet he did what God said. He read through the New Testament. And he asked the Lord, what would you have me do now? And he said, do it again. Well, he read all the way through the New Testament. He said, what do you want me to do now? He said, I thought he might say, read a portion of the Psalms, read the Old Testament. Do it again. How many of you know some of us don't want healing bad enough? Brother Hagin would meditate on every one of those verses throughout the Bible. See, we got 101 of them for you that we put in that packet that you can start off on. Amen. And he said, I got to the point where I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that when I prayed, that growth was coming off. So he said, I prayed. And he said, and then I forgot about it. Why did he forget about it? Because it's done. Amen. When you know that you know, you don't even need to see. You just know. Because the conviction is on the inside is stronger than what you can see with your eyes. That's faith. He said, one day, you know, because he was on the road so much of the time, he said, one day I'm driving in the car, my wife's in the car with me, and two kids are in the back, and this is before seatbelt laws, you know, so his little daughter's kind of standing up in the seat with her arms over the front, you know, bench, and he looks up at her and he goes, hey, that growth is gone. He said, when did that growth leave? She said, oh, that's been gone for weeks. And he didn't even notice. But he had built his faith up in the Word of God by meditating on the Word of God, amen, until his conviction was strong. Can you say amen? Why do believers fail to receive their healing? Two primary reasons we're going to talk about. There might be others, but two primary reasons. Number one, either a lack of knowledge or refusal to believe what the Bible has to say about healing, about God's provision for our bodies, or a failure to act on what they believe. Both are essential. So let's talk about these two things. Either a lack of knowledge or a refusal to believe what the Bible says. That second one might sound funny, a refusal to believe. Why would someone refuse to believe to their own hurt? You would be surprised. There are some people who've been raised all their life believing one thing. And for them to have to acknowledge that they were wrong and that someone else was right about these things, particularly if you're the family member sharing with them, and you know, they're used to having watched you grow up and they took you to church, and now you're sharing something with them they've never heard and they don't know, and they'd have to admit little sister or daughter or whoever or son was right and they were wrong. Amen. Preachers are even worse sometimes. Amen. But at the same time, how do you know you cannot believe what you've not been taught? Amen. You can't believe what you've not been taught. You have to have a foundation of truth upon which to stand. Now notice this in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It's there in your syllabus. I've got a different one than you, so I don't know exactly. Page 4. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Notice this. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who, now notice this, who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Can you hear the Word of God and hear the Word of God and hear the Word of God and still not have a sure foundation of faith? Absolutely. How many of you know, all of us have been guilty before, we can go in and listen to a beautiful message about love and forgiveness and patience and kindness and be yelling at our spouse before we hit the foyer. No testimonies, just look straightforward. Amen. But how many of you know that's possible? Because it's not enough to hear it, you've got to commit to it. You've got to take ownership of it. You've got to be a doer of it. You've got to make it habit in your life. Can you say amen? So he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he said, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the foundation is established both by hearing the Word of God and applying the message, or like I said, taking ownership of these truths and beginning to build your life on them. Now, here's the interesting thing about a foundation. A foundation is not visible. The foundation lies beneath the surface. See, I cannot look at you today, all sitting here, smiles on your faces, happy to be in church. I cannot tell by looking at you today what kind of foundation of faith you have in regard to healing in your life. It'd be impossible for me just looking at you to know. But there's one thing that will expose all of our foundations for what they are, and that's the storm. How many of you know the storm of life? This is not a bad prophecy. Don't say, you know, don't confess me over that preacher. The storms of life are coming. Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. That's not one you can confess away. Amen. The Bible talks about standing in the evil day. Is the evil day coming? Yeah, you're going to have some challenges. You're going to, in the area of sickness, the devil's going to try to throw some symptoms your way. He's going to terrify you with pain in your body. He's going to come at you. Can you say amen? And oftentimes it's not until the storm really hits the house till we find out how sure the foundation is. You know, it's interesting. You can have a beautiful, beautiful house. It can look so great. But if there's a crack somewhere hidden in the foundation, the smallest storm can level that house. Can you say amen? And yet if the foundation is sure, that house can stand any storm. Can you say amen? A house is only as good as its foundation. People can parrot words of faith all day long. But if they have not been building their life on the foundation of God's Word, by putting it to practice, as we said, taking ownership of the truths, then they are on a faulty foundation. Your faith, your confession, must come from a place of conviction. I've always liked the New American Standard Translation of Hebrews 1:11. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How do you know? How do you know that's going to happen, Pastor? I don't know, I just have a conviction. You know, anything you do by faith, there's a conviction. When God spoke to Maria and I, we got the witness in our heart to start this church. How do you know more than, you know, yourselves are going to come? It's like I said, John Maxwell said, anyone who calls himself a leader but doesn't have anybody following is just taking a walk, you know? How do you know you're not going to just be taking a walk? How do you know anybody's going to come? Well, you have a conviction. You have faith in your heart. And so what do? You start to act that out. You start to act like everybody and their brother's going to come. And you start to rent a building. You start to put advertisement out there. You start showing up and preaching, whether there's one or many. Amen. And I preach to myself, the fella I brought, and the fella that opened the door before. So I know what it is to do that. And you could look at the circumstances. You could look at what is seen and say, boy, I must not be much of a preacher. Or you can follow that conviction. That unseen stuff. You can have a conviction of healing so strong that you can have stage 4 cancer. You can have stage 12 cancer. I don't care what they come up with. And walk away healed by the power of God. If that conviction is strong enough in your heart. If that house is built on a sure foundation. Can you say amen? You know, I've got this story here. I know sometimes I put these things in abbreviated form so you can read it and maybe know what I'm referring to. Are you guys getting hot? We turned on the air. I don't know, maybe it's not going good enough. But so you guys can, if somebody wants to check, they can. I was walking with a friend of mine in Granada Hills right after the Northridge earthquake. Actually, I was ministering for about, I think, 4 consecutive Wednesday nights in Northridge. And after the first Wednesday night, the Northridge earthquake hits. And so I can't get down for the second of my 4 Wednesday nights to minister. And actually this church was holding its services on the Northridge campus. So obviously we're not going to have church that night. And so the following week I went down and I did my service. And they actually had service in a different building. And my friend lived in Granada Hills, which neighbors Northridge. And we were walking up and down. And it's aptly named Granada Hills because all these homes are built on the hills. Up there on the high side of the valley. And some of you remember that earthquake. It was pretty devastating. And so on his particular street, his home was built on the slanting side of a hill. His house was on the upper side, and there was other house across the street. All the other houses were kind of on the downhill side. So it kind of has this feeling of going like this. Of course, we're walking on the street, looking up at his house and these houses over here. Now, on his side of the street, the upward side of the hill, all the houses were relatively sound. The only thing they lost, I think one of their retaining walls fell over a little bit. They had a shattered window. I don't know if it's just something struck it or whatever. But on the opposite side of him, all these houses on the other side, most of them had signage on them that either said no occupancy or limited occupancy. In other words, they were pretty severely damaged by the earthquake. They looked okay at a quick glance, but then you'd notice, you know, this part of the house is straight up and down, and this part kind of listing over to the side, you know. And I said, Keith, how come all these houses over here, yours and all these others, seem fine, and yet all these, you know, are so damaged? He said, well, this over here, talking about the other side of the street, he said, this is all landfill. And I knew I'd heard myself a parable. Because the foundation was compromised, the house crumbled when it was shaken. And how many of you know that, again, if your healing house is built upon a faulty foundation, You know, well, my pastor says, or I read this book that says, that's not good enough. Because there's going to come some stuff to shake your foundation, to shake your healing house. Can you say amen? Symptoms are going to come to shake your healing house. Caring relatives. Honey, I know you're one of those faith people. Tell me, how do you really feel? They're going to shake your house. Amen. Doctor's reports will shake your house. And then the lies of the devil will come and shake your house. And whether or not you're built on a foundation solid on the Word of God. All these things have a voice. All these things have a voice and will talk to you. And they'll talk to you pretty much 24/7. That's why you have to purpose to keep your mind and your heart and your attention focused on the Word of God. We'll get to that in a little bit. We shared with you the other day, I think it was Sunday, I forget, all these things run together. But there's a difference between facts and truth. You know, all those voices might be saying in one sense, what is a fact? You know, they might be in agreement. Yeah, there's these symptoms in your body. Yeah, you got this bad diagnosis. All those things might be a fact. All a fact is the current reality under the current situations. But those things are temporal, changeable, subject to change. Truth, on the other hand, is eternal. So it might be a fact that you've got symptoms in your body. But the truth is, by His stripes, you were healed. Amen. Faith and the truth will change, will alter the fact. Yes. You know, it was a fact that all of us were sinners, alienated from God, without hope, without Christ in the world. Some of us were much better at it than others. I mean, we really expressed that sin nature. We went after it. We were pros. We had PhDs in sin. That was a fact. But the truth was that Jesus died for the remission of our sins. And when we put our faith in the truth, it changed the fact and created a brand new reality in our lives. The same truth of God's Word concerning healing can change the current, right now reality, amen, and give you a brand new reality through the Word of God. Can you say amen? The second reason why people, as we said, don't receive their healing is because they fail to act, sometimes even refuse to act on what they've heard. Notice this story in Acts 14. This is an important story. We'll come back to this later in the healing school as well, because this has a lot to say to us about healing. Acts 14, 5 through 10. It says, "And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and the surrounding region." Now this is Paul and Silas. They're on the run. There's another Jewish posse chasing them out of town. And notice what happens when they come to Lystra and Derbe. Verse 7 says, "And they were preaching the gospel there." Amen. "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on your feet,' or 'Stand up straight on your feet.' And he leaped and walked." Now, like we said, we don't have time to do justice to this passage. We'll come back and touch on other points regarding. There's so many wonderful things to glean from this passage. But the primary thing we want you to see is that this man was healed, not because of Paul, but because of what he, the crippled man, did. And what he did in response to what he heard and what he believed. Now, like I said, many times in teaching on these things, in fact, there is, I guess, in the, some of you might even have an old King James Bible that'll say, over this, it'll have a heading to say, "Paul healeth a cripple." Well, Paul didn't healeth anybody. Now, how many of you know that Jesus often in His ministry would heal through the gifts of the Spirit, supernatural power that He was anointed with? Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So there were times where He healed through the gifts of the Spirit or the healing anointing, we would say. And we'll teach on all the distinctions of these things later in the healing school. Paul likewise had a healing anointing on his life, no doubt about it. And there were miracles, signs, and wonders that he and other of the apostles and other disciples did as they yielded to the Spirit of God, and God used them and the sick were healed. But that's not what's happening here. It's very important to look really closely into the story and see what was happening. Paul did not heal him because of some special apostolic powers he had. Paul did three things to contribute to this man's healing, and the man himself did three things. And all of them are very, very important. In fact, without one of these on any of these 6 points, you don't get healed. What did Paul do? Number one, he preached the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the Bible said once, Romans 1:16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Now, we'll get into some of these things more as we go through the school. But that word salvation doesn't just mean new birth like we oftentimes think, but it means, like we use the word salvation, you can be saved from a lot of things, isn't that right? You can be saved from financial bankruptcy. Your marriage can be saved. You can be saved at sea. I mean, all these things are salvation. Well, the Greek word kind of implies the same thing. It includes healing, deliverance, soundness. So Paul was preaching a message of deliverance through Christ. And the Bible said the gospel is the power of God. It's an important word because it's the same word used over there in Acts 10:38 when the Bible says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. So the word, the gospel, has got the same power. The written word has the same power that the living word had. Can you say amen? And has. Amen. So Paul's preaching the gospel. That means, among other things, the power to save is there. Amen. Number two, Paul saw that the man had faith to be healed. Now, what I always like to stop and say here is that for the man to have faith to be healed, Paul had to be preaching, among other things, a healing gospel. Because you can only have faith to be healed by hearing preaching on healing. You don't get faith to be healed by hearing who the Antichrist is and what the mark of the beast is. Can you say amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If this man had faith to be healed, Paul had to be preaching a healing gospel. Can you say amen? And then Paul also saw that the man had faith to be healed. And then thirdly, he told him to stand up. He helped him act on his faith. Amen? It's interesting too, you'll notice in the passage that there's an exclamation part. Paul's exclamation mark. Stand up straight on your feet. It was a command. He barked it out. And I know exactly why he did. He didn't want to have to give the man time to think about it. Because this is a man who's been a cripple since his mother's womb. It wouldn't have taken 5 seconds for the fellow to think, well, you don't understand. I'm a cripple. I can't walk. Paul saw that the man's faith was ignited. He wanted to act on it. He said, stand up on your feet. Before the fellow knew what he'd done, he jumped off the front row. Amen. Walking. The man did three things. Number one, he listened to Paul. He heard him. Have a lot of people come to church and don't hear. Amen. I'm very thankful. And I'm not trying to be tongue-in-cheek. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck in saying this. But can I just say that people are not good listeners today. I thank God that early in my life, it wasn't by my choosing. I had a teacher who would scare the living daylights out of us if we didn't listen. He would throw things at us and everything else. I mean, he demanded a certain level of respect and attention. And he frightened me into good listening habits. He really did. But it served me well when I went into Bible school and other times because I would just get that laser focus and I would listen. And I wouldn't just hear what the fellow was saying. I'd hear what God was saying through him. And how do you know we need to be good listeners? This man heard what Paul was saying. And what was Paul saying? He's preaching the gospel. Amen. Number two, he had faith to be healed. Which means he was listening with an open and attentive heart. And number three, he left and walked. Amen? So the man had faith to be healed, but here's what's really amazing to me in this story. Here he is sitting there, still a cripple, with faith to be healed. Didn't the Bible say Paul said he had faith to be healed? He saw that he had faith to be healed, and yet there he sits, a cripple. How can you still be a cripple if you have faith to be healed? Because you haven't acted on what you believe. But as soon as he acted on what he believed, he released the healing power of the gospel. Can you say amen? He gave action to the power, we might say. Most of us are familiar with these verses in James chapter 2, 14 and 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works or actions, we would say, can faith save him? What it's really talking about, and of course it's not talking about adding good works to your faith to be saved. It's talking about a quality of faith, the kind of faith that acts on what it believes. Amen? Verse 17 also says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works or actions, is dead. Being alone. So one translation says it this way, faith without corresponding actions is dead. Can that kind of faith save? No, it cannot. The kind of faith that saves is faith that acts. In fact, faith that does not act is not really what we would call Bible faith at all. In fact, it's interesting, but Bible faith and obedience, it's interesting, the Hebrews had no understanding of the word faith without faithfulness. In other words, if you believed, you committed to that. Faith and obedience went hand in hand. If you weren't doing, you weren't believing. To believe is an action word. That means you're going to, you know, like I always kind of joke and tease the ladies and say, you know, if I said to you, hey, I heard that the outlet mall is giving shoes away free. Now, if you really believe it, we're going to lose half the audience. Amen. I'm just joking. But I mean, you see what I'm saying. If people have a conviction, if they believe it, they start moving. They start acting on it. This guy believed, he acted, and of course, he was healed. Faith that does not act does not move, does not respond to what it believes, is not a faith that saves. That's not just true with healing, that's true with the new birth. Most of us are familiar with Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's not enough to believe in your heart, or just to acknowledge, yeah, I believe in God. You know, Paul in James it says the devils believe and tremble. I believe in God. People say that like that's a panacea to all their problems. Now, the devil believes in God more than most Christians. It's not a matter of do you acknowledge it. It's a matter of is it governing your life? Are you living by it? You know, Christianity was called and is called the faith. And it's very easy to see who has the faith. It's the people who are controlled by, living by, their convictions govern their life behavior. Amen. If it's not, then how can you say I have a faith? Because a faith in a biblical context means that I'm acting, I'm doing, I'm expressing that. And if there is no action, then there is no real Bible faith. It should be governing our life. Can you say amen? You know, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. We're big on salvation, man. I mean, we'd have revivals and, you know, we'd get people saved. You know, that was kind of the joke, kind of, I told a little bit in front of my book there in the introduction. Is, you know, that was always the question. Are you saved? You know, I could come into people like we're, you know, speaking a different language. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. What do you mean saved? I remember asking a friend of mine, you know, are you saved? He said, no, I'm not saved. What do you mean saved? You know what I was talking about. He's not inside the context of a church. He didn't know what I meant. But I knew people that came to some of these meetings, and I heard many testimonies and stories, you probably have too, of people who needed to give their life to Christ, who were on a path of destruction. And they came and they heard the message. And I mean, they believed it. In fact, they were trembling listening to it. I've heard of stories where people were so under conviction that their hands went white gripping the pew in front of them. Because they're afraid if I ease my grip a little bit, my legs will carry me down to the altar and I'll end up going with them. And I've even heard of stories where the preacher went back and said, brother, why don't you come? Give your heart to Christ. You know you need to change your life. Give your life to Jesus. No, I'm not going to do it. Why? Well, maybe they're afraid that I'm going to lose my friends, or I'll lose my popularity, or I'll have to live a boring life going to church all the time. Whatever it is, they're not putting into practice. They're not taking ownership. They're not acting on. You couldn't say they don't believe, because in one sense they do, but they're refusing to or failing to put into action. Are they saved? Do they get saved? No, they do not. Because until you act on what you believe, there is no salvation. Can you say amen? So how important it is that we not only believe in our heart, but we act on what we believe. Now let me just say this when it comes to exercising our faith in healing, and we'll get into this, like we said, as we talk more about ministering healing, particularly to others. There are different ways of ministering healing. You know, you can just share the word with someone, they can pray a prayer of faith and be healed. Or you can lay hands on someone with a healing anointing. Or gifts of healings might come into manifestation and people can be healed. There's different levels on which God heals, and sometimes there's different degrees of faith that are required depending on the particular operation of ministry. And we'll talk more about that as we get into it. Now, I think this is kind of cool about this story too. The Bible said Paul saw that the man had faith to be healed. How can you tell when someone's got faith? It's really not hard. All you have to do is look at their face. And if they're lit up like a Christmas tree, they're getting it. Amen. And they get excited about it. Brother Hagin, you say that all the time. That's when the word works for you, is when you're excited about it. And if you're excited about it, it's because you believe it. Nobody gets excited about something they don't believe. But when you really see, this could change my life, this is the truth, you get excited. And then acting is just a byproduct of that conviction, of that excitement. Can you say amen? That's what we want, is get people excited about the truth of healing. You might say, well, I'm not sick. Yeah, but there's people who are that you know. And they might need you laying hands on them. Can you say amen? You might need to do this before the week is out. Can you say amen? And we want you in a position where your faith is quickened so that you can do that. Amen. So that you can have that eureka moment, so you can see it and put into action what you believe. Amen. So in conclusion, what do we want to do throughout this course? Very simply, we want to get into the Word of God and build a solid foundation of faith upon which to build our healing house. We want every one of you to have a firm foundation. Amen. No matter how strong the winds are, no matter how great the storm, we want your healing house to stand. Can you say amen? Notice this in Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now notice this. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart, or guard your heart, with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So this verse speaks of the attentive ear, the steadfast look, and the enshrining heart. We don't just glance and look away. We don't just hear and go about our business, but we look to keep it. We listen to keep it, to closet it in our heart, where it begins to change the way we think and the way we believe. Can you say amen? And so we're going to give ourselves, as we said, wholly to the Word of God on this subject. Why? Because it's life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh. Now that word health, as many of you know, can also be translated medicine. And so I think it kind of helps to see it that way, because we all know that medicine is only good, what? If you take it. I mean, you know, you can have a prescription, and it can be the answer. But if it just sits in the bottle, somewhere in the back of your medicine cabinet, it's not going to do you any good. Not only that, but as I understand, you're supposed to take it as prescribed. You know, there's some medicine that you can take too much of, it won't help you. But certainly, if you never take it, or don't take it as prescribed, it's not going to help you. And thank God, He tells us, He gives us a prescription and how to take it. He said, give attention to it. Don't let it depart from your eyes, and keep it in the middle, in the midst of your heart. Amen. So we're going to, as we said, we're going to have to keep God's Word before our eyes and keep our focus on what He says rather than what all those other voices we talked about earlier are saying. Amen. This is an important point. Whatever you give your mind and attention to, you will eventually believe. And as we said, that can either be good or bad depending upon what you're giving your attention to. Brother Moore told a story a while back that I thought was so valuable. Now, like I said, Brother Keith Moore, he pastors today and travels and ministers quite a bit with Brother Copeland, different ministers, and Pastor Billy's got a great relationship with him, and was one of my instructors at school. But for 15 to 20 years, somewhere in there, I forget the ballpark exactly, but he was over Brother Hagin's prayer and healing school, particularly the healing school. Now, the healing school that he was over, now they would open it up to the students and you could come after school and sit through an hour class and they'd teach on healing. But that's not the one I'm referring to. There was a healing school that you could not attend unless you're either terminally ill or had some kind of incurable condition. They had people literally from all over the world that would fly in to just get in this class, because if they don't get healed here, they're going to die. He said, I've had people pitch out on the ground dying while I'm teaching the Word of God. So you can understand the level of infirmity we're talking about. He said, we would have people sitting on the back row, lest they should disturb others, who are on respirators. You can hear every breath they take. He said, and yet we would start to teach the Word of God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can start to see their complexion change. All of a sudden, Thursday, Wednesday, they don't have the respirator with them. They're breathing on their own. He said, by Friday, they looked almost like a completely different person. Just 1 week in the Word made such a difference. Their faith began to grow. They began to believe in something other than what they could see. Their convictions in the truths of God's Word began to do a work even in their flesh. Why? Because it's medicine. It's medicine. Amen. You take your medicine, you get better, right? That's the idea. Well, you take God's Word. It's a medicine. He said the interesting thing, though, was they would go home. Now, many of them would literally come and, you know, get in a hotel, something like that, away from everyone else. But others went back home. They were within driving distance. He said the sad thing was they'd come back Monday and be exactly in the same place they were before they ever came. You say, how? And he said, it concerned me enough. He said, I went to prayer. And he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's very simple. He said, what's happening is during the week, while they're listening to you, they're giving attention. They're doing what Proverbs 4 says. They're giving attention with their ears. They're giving that steadfast look. They're enshrining it in their heart. They're building their faith upon the Word. But then they go back to the family, and they have that doctor's appointment. And like I said, those family members will say, now, honey, don't talk that face stuff. Tell me, how are you really doing? And get them back in touch with what they can see and what they can feel. Then they go to the doctor, and it's the doctor's obligation to tell you what he finds out, right? He's not trying to break your faith down necessarily, but he's just telling you what is. So you hear that report, and maybe it's worse than what you heard before. Amen. So what do? Well, you start to get your eyes off the Word and back onto this stuff. Amen. And then you start feeling those symptoms and thinking about it. And all of a sudden, back on Monday, you're right back where you were before. So they'd start over again, teaching the Word on Monday, teaching the Word on Tuesday, teaching the Word on Wednesday. He said they'd have this yo-yo thing maybe for weeks. And it can go one of two ways, of course. Then they can either decide, I'm going to give attention to this and shut off those other voices until they get their healing. And sometimes that's what you've got to do. You know, sometimes if you have a sickness in your body, the last thing you need to do is tell anybody. Because there are people who actually think they're doing good, that will tell you of every relative they know that had the same symptoms and died. How many of you know it's probably a good idea not to tell those people anything?
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Just keep it to yourself. You know, I told you that story a while back about Brother Hagin meditating on the Word of God until he prayed for his daughter and she was healed. I have a friend named Larry Hutton. He traveled with Brother Hagin for years on his worship team, and he preached for me a couple times. And he's a great one to teach on healing. And he has these CDs that he's a singer also, and he basically did these CDs that are for healing. And that's all the healing scriptures. And what he did was he didn't just do them in one translation, but he took a whole bunch of different translation and went through the entire Bible, and it's set to music. And so you can just listen to this and listen to this and listen to this in your car, particularly if you're sick, you'll just listen to it 24/7. Well, he came down with cancer. So he said, the first thing I did was tell no one. I did not confer with flesh and blood. He said, I shut myself up in a room. He said, the only people I told one or two people who I knew how to pray in faith. He said, I shut myself up. Now, he said, other people might do it differently, but he said, I like those CDs I made. And it's his own voice talking the word to him 24/7. He said, I put that on, and that's all I listen to. He said, if I'm out for lunch, if I'm out for dinner, I am. If not, leave me alone. This is life and death. And he said, I did not pray the prayer of faith until I had listened and listened and listened. And he said, when I finally prayed, he said, there was no doubt in my mind. Now, that cancer was in his back. He said, the next thing I noticed, there was a big black mark back there. The cancer's dying. Next thing he knows, it's just gone. He said, I don't know where it went, and I don't care. But it left. He was completely, totally healed. Amen. But what did he do? He got his ears, he got his eyes, and he got his heart on the Word of God. I think we can begin to see why sometimes we don't get there. Why? And I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm just saying sometimes this takes more time than an afternoon. Can I get a witness, Kay? Isn't that right? You got to get your heart and your mind and your focus on these things. Amen. This is life and death. I know Brother Moore said this. He said, sometimes people say to me, you know, Brother Moore, I'm just not a fighter. He said, you better learn. Because if your life is at stake, you got to learn how to fight. Fight the fight of faith. We're not fighting people. Jesus already fought and defeated the devil, but you got to fight those thoughts that come to your mind. You got to fight the fight of faith. You got to stay on the Word of God. Can you say amen? Like we said, symptoms will compete for your attention. Relatives want to know how you really are. And they can distract you from what the Word of God. And doctors are looking at the natural rather than the spiritual. So over these 6 weeks, we're going to do what we can to help you keep your eyes and ears on the Word of God and get it in your heart. Now, I like a quote I have. I don't have it in that syllabus. You might want to write it down. Something Keith Moore said. I stumbled on it the other day when I was going through these notes. He said this. I thought it was so powerful. He said, if you will get enough of God's Word for long enough, you can be healed of anything.
Amen.
If you'll get enough of God's Word for long enough, you can be healed of anything. Amen. Some healings are instantaneous, but many, many healings are fought and won over a long period of time. You know, the Bible said they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That connotes, does it not, a recovery time. And many times people are healed over a process of time. Amen? So we're going to help you get the Word of God in you. So here's your homework. You ready? It's right there for you. Number one, review these lessons. Don't just say, well, that was good. Pastor preached a good little message. And no, go back over it. Make sure the preacher's right. Make sure I'm not making this stuff up. See, what I'm saying is you can't get healed because I say it. You can get healed when you know it. It's got to become real to you. Can you say amen? Number two, meditate these scriptures we gave you. 101 things God said about healing. You don't have to go through 101 every day, but take a couple. Meditate on them. Look up the scriptures. See what they say. What will happen is this. Your heart will connect with one or two or three of these. And I don't know, something about that verse or something about that confession. When you read that one, it'll just click with you. And it'll just feed your faith. You'll just like the way that sounds. It just build your faith up. That's your smooth stone right there. That'll take your giant down. You just keep meditating on that and find some others. Amen. You know, it only took one stone for David to drop the giant, but he still had five. So get the Word of God in you. Amen. Even if there's one particular scripture you really like, get the Word of God in you. Amen. And then I want to encourage you, over the 6 week period of time, this shouldn't be, you can go do this in an afternoon. But over the 6 weeks, I want to encourage you, read the Gospel of Mark. Why? It's the action gospel of the New Testament. Every time Jesus turns around, he's healing, he's casting out devils, he's, I mean, just Mark 5 alone is amazing. He casts out devils from a fellow by the name of Legion, heals the woman with the issue of blood, and raises up Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's just one, that chapter alone is inspiring. Can you say amen? But read through the Gospel of Mark and feed upon it. Meditate on it. Don't try to speed read. Go through some of the healings and examine how people, through their own faith oftentimes, were healed. Amen? Praise God. So those are the three things. Review the lessons. Meditate the Scriptures. Now, you're not limited, of course, to those 101 things. Meditate the Word of God. If there's other things you have to feed on, and like we said in your bibliography in the back there, there's a lot of good materials that you can access either through the internet, through bookstores, or, like we said, free online. So take advantage of it. But let's make this 6 weeks a very intensive time of focusing on the Word of God concerning healing. Now, obviously, we want you to continue to meditate on these things beyond that. But you can't necessarily give yourself 24/7 to something forever. So what we want to do is really during the 6 week period of time, really, and if you're fighting symptoms in your body, this is your medicine. Amen. I'm not a doctor, but Jesus is. And Jesus said His word is medicine. So take as prescribed. And I'll tell you what, it'll do you good. Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father, right now, we just thank You for Your word. Father, we're just stepping, as it were, onto the shore of a vast continent of truth, Lord God, concerning Your will for our bodies. And Father, I thank You that I believe with all of my heart this will not just be physical in the regard to pain and regard to disease or sickness, but I thank You, Father God, that chemical imbalances will be healed. I thank You that mental illness will be healed. I thank You, Father God, that depression will be healed. I thank You, Father God, that people who've struggled with certain habits and addictions, Father God, will walk free from the yoke of bondage they've been enslaved to. I thank You, Father, and I pray right now that Your anointing would go with these as they leave. I pray that You would quicken them in body. I pray that they would wake up fresher tomorrow, just having spent time in Your life-giving Word. Their life to those who find it, and health to all their flesh. May we be quickened as we go. We thank You for it. We believe You for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.